The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It's 5 o'clock. Time for the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frankie. I hope you had a lovely sleep and rested.
Appreciate it. Well, now I'm pretty tired.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
7 hours ago, I had a
Well, hey, man. I mean, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
Invigorate yourself. I'll reinvigorate you. Hi, everybody. Hope you guys are having a good day. Coming up, when will former President Trump decide if he's going to run again? We may have the answer to that. And another former president with some harsh words for world leaders. Those stories are coming up, but plus we have traffic on the sevens, of course, with Joe Nolan. But first, here are the big stories we'll be following today.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Welcome to America. The U.S. on Monday opened its doors to international travel and vaccinated tourists. That's the little asterisk there. Vaccinated tourists from more than 30 countries are jumping at the chance to take advantage of the open door policy. In London, thousands of psyched up holidaymakers. I love this video. They boarded jets at Heathrow and Gatwick, the first since the Biden administration lifted the ban. It was quite a wonderful scene. Passengers were welcomed by dozens of beaming airline employees waving American flags. There were jugglers, Lady Liberties dressed in red, white, and blue, and even an Elvis impersonator. It is a happy day for these Brits.
Just elated. You know, there's no words. I don't have any words.
That's the thing that I've missed the most is them not being able to be together, just because I know how much it means to me to be able to hold him, and having them not be able to do that, it's been really painful. So this, I'm so glad it happened. I'm so glad it's real. It's just, it's amazing. It's, yeah.
We're learning more about the circumstances leading up to Friday's deadly stampede at the Astroworld Music Festival in Houston. Eight people were killed, hundreds more injured. Officials say crowds surged towards the stage rapper Drake made a surprise appearance during Travis Scott's set. The two continued to perform despite emergency vehicles and personnel arriving on the scene. The Houston Chronicle reporting police and firefighters declared a mass casualty event at 9:38 p.m., yet the show went on until 10:15. By the time Live Nation shut things down, 23 people were hospitalized, 11 were in cardiac arrest, and more than 300 had to be treated at a spontaneous field hospital set up at the scene.
Yeah, what a mess. Oh, man, Live Nation is in big trouble. So are some of the performers. Texas officials reportedly warned Scott about the crowd size, Travis Scott I'm talking about, and the vibe. Before he even went on, Houston Police Chief Tony Finner allegedly visited the star in his trailer. Now, Finner and Scott have known each other because Scott grew up in Houston. So apparently Finner visited Scott in the trailer before the Friday show. He expressed concern about the energy of the crowd. Houston's fire chief, meantime, said Scott and the show's organizers should have stepped in and stopped the show much sooner.
A shocking report out of Queens. The DA's office will move to dismiss the cases of 60 people. The cases were connected to police officers who later pled guilty to perjury. One of those cops was convicted in a Queens perjury case and pled guilty in a separate Manhattan case. Another cop pled guilty to perjury charges in Manhattan. Both have since been fired. Another six cases tied to a grand jury are up in jeopardy. This one pleading guilty to six crimes against detainees.
I love New York. It is back. New York Governor Kathy Hochul bringing back the iconic campaign. It's part of an effort to invigorate the tourism industry, the third most lucrative industry in New York, by the way. Some New Yorkers will get over $2,700 in payments. These are people in the hospitality business under this new plan that's meant to help the state's tourism industry recover after financially painful days during the pandemic. The announcement coming on the day the U.S. officially ended its ban, as you know, on international travel. Here's Hochul.
I want to make New York fun again. I want people to feel that vitality, that energy that all of us knew before the pandemic, that we just embraced as part of our DNA. And we talk about tourism, and I love the slogan, bring back tourism, bring back jobs. Then we bring back jobs. We bring back the workers in those jobs.
And those are your top five at five. Coming up, we've got some pop-up vac sites happening for New York City school children. I'm going to tell you how those are going. And is it finally over for robocalls?
I hope so.
Yeah, traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan coming up. But first, here are some of the other items making news this morning.
What's trending?
Former President Donald Trump hinting we'll know whether he's running again sometime after the 2022 midterms. A recent poll shows Trump is still the favorite among Republicans. In a survey without Trump in the running, so let's say he's not planning on running, Mike Pence and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis are just about neck and neck. And former President Barack Obama ripped into world leaders during a European climate gathering at the COP26 summit in Scotland Monday. It continues to go on. This thing's never ending. Obama called out Russia and China for inaction when it comes to the environment. He also did not mince words when it came to his successor.
Some of our progress stalled when my successor decided to unilaterally pull out of the Paris Agreement in his first year in office. I wasn't real happy about that. And yet, the determination of our state and local governments allowed our country to keep moving forward.
And here's what's trending around the country and the world. Homeless during this past school year, that is, we saw more than 100,000 city school children were homeless during this past school year. That's a giant jump since 2010, just over 40%. The group Advocates for Children released their survey yesterday. Almost 28,000 children were living in shelters. Another 65,000 were with friends and family. And roughly 4,000 students were forced to live in makeshift shelters like their cars, parks, or abandoned buildings. So,
so sad.
Pretty alarming that you have to think about where you're going to live when you're just trying to get an education. And there was a Suffolk County legislator busted yesterday. Dr. William Spencer is facing several charges after being accused of offering drugs to a prostitute in exchange for sex. The 54-year-old from Centerport.
Oh, in my neighborhood.
Did you vote for him?
No.
He has served as a Suffolk County legislator since January of 2012.
From the Ramsey Moss Weather Center today. I mean, fall? What fall? We've got about 68 degrees for a high today expected.
Wow.
With lots of sun. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful day. That sun will continue into tomorrow, although we will have some clouds roll in and we'll get a little bit cooler. We'll get down to about 64 degrees. Still a little bit warm for this time of year. On Thursday, we'll have a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, and then the clouds start to roll in the afternoon. We'll get down to a high of 60 degrees, and that means, I think you know what that means, it means rain on Thursday. Thunderstorms are possible, mainly in the afternoon. And by Friday, it looks like things will clear up, so that's good. We'll have a nice weekend, seems, at least at this point. There are still a few days where things can change. But for now, 68 degrees for a high today. It's 52 in New York City right now.
Coming up, we'll have sports at 5:15 with Matt Sapienza and a whole lot of other great content coming your way, including the fact that New York City schools launched pop-up COVID vaccine sites on Monday for children ages 5 to 11. More than 1,000 sites will open this month at schools across the city. And the Pfizer shots are administered by trained medical professionals. Students must be accompanied by a parent, legal guardian, or an adult designated by one. Vaccination records are kept strictly confidential and no appointment is needed. Here's how one child expressed his joy over getting the shot.
Overall, I guess I just have a little jump in my step. I'm now just able to do like way more things.
Good for
a little jump in his step.
Absolutely. Good for him. The Democratic-led House panel looking into the January 6th riots issued another round of subpoenas, including to several ex-Trump officials. This time, the list includes National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and attorney John Eastman, who wrote a memo outlining ways former Vice President Mike Pence could reject Joe Biden's electoral count victory. Jason Miller, the ex-campaign manager Bill Stepien, former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick, and former Trump campaign Angela McCallum are also on the list. So it'll be interesting to see how this group of people getting the subpoenas reacts as compared to the last group, including Steve Bannon and others who did not comply with the subpoenas. Governor Kathy Hochul on Monday signed a package of legislation into law as an effort to block robocalls from certain numbers to your telephone. Under this new legislation, telecommunication companies will have to block robocalls from certain numbers to prevent those calls from coming in across different providers. You get a lot of these calls?
Oh, it's endless. Scam call, you know, and you get these weird places like Kenosha. You know, it's just like, what?
See, I just don't answer numbers that I don't know.
Oh, I don't either. But I mean, it's annoying because sometimes you forget to turn your phone off and then you've got these random calls coming in.
The bromance between former President Trump and Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell is officially over. In the latest salvo between the two former allies, Trump claims that a glowing foreword in McConnell's 2016 book was written reportedly by Trump was actually written by McConnell himself. Trump says, referring to Mitch as an ace in the hole and other fawning compliments, those were all McConnell's words. Trump just signed his name to it.
That's kind of typical. I mean, that actually does happen.
Well, someone
in the world
writes
of books. Yeah, and you just say, hey, is this okay? And then McConnell would say, hey, is this all right if I write this? And Trump says, yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I totally believe that this happened. But if President Trump didn't feel that way, he should have edited the words to be more reflective of his feelings, I would think. A new book, speaking of books, suggests the former president was ready to leave the GOP. In Betrayal, the final act of the Trump show, Jonathan Carl of ABC News, which is not affiliated in any way with this radio station, claims on the last day of his presidency, Trump told RNC chair Ronna McDaniel, who was on the Cats at Night show last night, that he was going to create his own party. And he didn't care if he destroyed the GOP. The move, payback for what Trump felt was a party that didn't back him, was, according to Carl, the RNC fought back, threatening to withhold its legal defense funds and a very valuable donor list. Trump says the conversation never happened, and he calls Jonathan Carl a third-rate reporter from ABC Non-News. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley has some advice for the men of America.
We've got to say that spending your time not working, and we have more and more men who are not working, spending your time on video games, spending your time watching porn online while doing nothing is not good for you, your family, or this country.
The Republican was speaking with Axios on HBO in an interview that aired on Sunday night. He blames liberals for America's men going downhill, saying they're forcing us to think being masculine is a bad thing. Alec Baldwin wants police on the set of productions that use real or fake guns. The actor accidentally fatally shot cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the film Rust 2 weeks ago. He'd been rehearsing a scene with a gun that he believed was filled with dummy rounds. The production has since been shut down while investigators in Santa Fe try to figure out why a live round was in the gun. And the oldest public law school on the West Coast is on the brink of changing its name. UC Hastings College of Law was named after Serenus Clinton Hastings, one of California's early attorneys general and a guy linked to stealing from and killing members of a local American Indian tribe known as the Yuki in the late 1800s. Hastings, near San Francisco, is California's oldest law school, established in 1878. So we'll see where that goes. And a heads up to the parents of New York City's public school children. A new report shows police here in the city have seized a cache of weapons at local schools since July 1st. 787 to be exact. The booty includes guns, tasers, and knives, among other dangerous tools. Officials say many of the kids who were holding claimed it was self-defense. They're not only worried about things going down in school, they're also concerned about getting to and from class.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, it is rough out there.
Yeah.
But if children are listening, they should not bring weapons to school.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But how do you protect yourself when you're going from neighborhood to neighborhood, especially these days with all the crazies out there?
It's a fine question, but it's a surefire way to get a perfectly good gun or knife confiscated. 5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Julius Randle scored 31 points, including 8 straight during a key fourth quarter stretch to lead the Knicks to a 103-96 victory over the shorthanded Philadelphia 76ers last night. Back to the court once more, DeMar DeRozan scored 28 points, Zach LaVine added 24, and the Chicago Bulls used a 42-point fourth quarter to pull away for a 118-95 victory over the Brooklyn Nets. On the ice, the Rangers held off the Panthers 4-3. And finally, some sad news. Former Yankees and Mets reliever Pedro Feliciano died overnight in his sleep. He was 45. Feliciano, nicknamed Perpetual Pedro due to his heavy usage, technically played for 4 organizations, but only ever appeared in an MLB game as a Met. originally a 31st round pick of the Dodgers in 1995. He spent seven seasons in the Dodgers organization before signing with the Reds, who traded him to the Mets in 2002 as part of a four-player package for Sean Etzt. And once again, Pedro Feliciano, dead at 45. That's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports.
Thank you, Matt. We'll go to Joe Nolan, who's got traffic and transit on the sevens in just a minute. And we'll also hear from Juliet Huddy about what happened in the past and how it relates to what's happening today. I'll tell you what's coming up in the world of business. And there's a whole lot of news, including the top five at 5:30 that you'll...
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it's going to be a beautiful day. 68 degrees with lots of sun. It's going to cool off a bit tomorrow, getting up to 64 degrees, and the clouds start to roll in. We will see some sun, though. By Thursday, the clouds really roll in, and we'll probably have some intense clouds in the afternoon. Friday, we're looking at thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon, but then it kind of clears up. It's going to be okay. 52 degrees right now in New York City. And coming up, we're going to tell you what Travis Scott's giving concert goers at the deadly Astro World Fest, who attended, and Prince Harry in the firing line again. I'm going to tell you who is angry with the royal rebel this time. But first, let's get a quick check on the markets, Frank.
The opening bell rings this morning after a solid day of trading on Wall Street that followed the House passing the bipartisan infrastructure bill late last week. The bill would provide funding to improve utilities, transportation, and broadband, as well as other infrastructure-related projects. Industrials and materials stocks led the way yesterday as they're set to benefit from the newly passed legislation. So at the closing bell, the Dow Jones rose 104 points, the S&P 500 gained by over 4 points, and the NASDAQ jumped by 11 points. The producer price index for October is due out this morning. Analysts are forecasting a slight increase over September, with the producer price index rising 0.6% last month after a 0.5% pickup in September. We'll have more when we do Biz Buzz a little bit later on, Juliet.
Thank you very much, sir. We're going to talk about Eric Adams. I mean, I actually think that you could probably talk about this because I heard you talking
about it
on your show. This cryptocurrency push that Adams is making. So now he says that he thinks that cryptocurrencies and these blockchain technologies should be taught in schools. And this is, I mean, this is like the 10th time he's mentioned it in the last day. What's going on here?
I don't know. And he also said he would take his first three paychecks in Bitcoin, which is the most prominent, most popular form of cryptocurrency. So he's gone from Dominic Carter said he heard him talk about this a little bit during the campaign. I didn't. So he's gone from somebody that was very quiet about cryptocurrency to now being, other than maybe the mayor of Miami, the leading crypto cheerleader in the whole country.
Let's hear what he has to say.
This city was the Empire State. We made empires. Now we are destroying empires every day. This is the center of innovation, self-driving cars, drone development, cybersecurity, life sciences. And so when I talked about blockchain and bitcoins, young people on the street stopped and asked me, what is that?
Can you explain in 30 seconds what it is for people who don't know? Can you tell viewers who aren't really sure what Bitcoin is?
Even experts will have a challenge doing that.
Well, that was odd.
I mean, it's kind of like it is something that's difficult to explain, but he might need a canned answer ready for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a whole lot of other news happening in terms of stories we're watching.
Yeah, this concert situation is just an absolute disaster.
Yeah, I will bring you more on that. But the meat industry is pledging to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. The North American Meat Institute, which represents 95% of the nation's meat producers, announced today that members will match the targets set in the 2015 Paris Agreement, an effort to keep global warming to within 2.7 degrees. The Institute says it will start collecting data and verifying progress of its members.
Well, you have another story on meat coming up a little bit later on, but I wanted to get to this concert, this Astroworld thing, 3 days after the concert goers were stampeded, some of them stampeded to death. You know, these people were trying to get to the front, and they were walking all over people who were clearly suffering and injured, just so they could see hip-hop superstar Travis Scott and Drake. Anyway, 3 days after this fateful concert, Travis Scott announced that he's going to issue refunds to everyone who attended the doomed event. Meantime, Variety is reporting that Scott bailed out of an upcoming headlining show at the Day in Vegas Festival. That's out in, obviously, Las Vegas. That's scheduled for this weekend. 8 people were killed at Friday's Astroworld event in Houston. Hundreds more, as you heard, were injured.
And the world is celebrating the opening of international travel to the United States. Thousands of travelers from across the globe boarded flights. In London, British Airways and Virgin Atlantic celebrated the end of restrictions by taking off simultaneously from Heathrow Airport.
That was pretty cool.
That was neat.
Yeah.
And only vaccinated travelers are allowed in, and they have to show a negative COVID test taken within 3 calendar days of travel. Children are exempt, but they have to take a test within 1 day of travel. A friend of mine has dual citizenship, the United States and Ireland, and he is vaccinated, but he said they're not joking around. Even for American citizens, they're very careful about getting that negative test.
Yes, definitely. Former President Barack Obama putting the pressure on world leaders and issuing a warning to Americans. 44 was speaking at the COP26 climate summit Monday, where he bashed China and Russia for doing little to stop global warming. He also ripped former President Trump for pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, and he also had a message to Americans.
And for those listening back home in the U.S., let me say this. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, if your Florida house is flooded by rising seas, or your crops fail in the Dakotas, or your California house is burning down. Nature, physics, science do not care about party affiliation.
I agree with that.
President Biden, the successor of the gentleman you just heard, is reportedly considering shutting down a key oil pipeline. The Line 5 pipeline links Superior, Wisconsin to Sarnia, Ontario, up in Canada. And a group of Republican lawmakers are urging the president to hold off, saying this would create a real problem for many Americans this winter. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, however, says fuel prices are already going sky high.
So we're already going to be, you know.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Let's just add a few more bucks to it. And items belonging to the late Amy Winehouse stole the show recently at an LA auction house. Were you a fan of hers?
I like her music.
I do.
Yeah. I like her music, sure.
Yeah, the raven-haired bluesy pop star died of an overdose back in 2011. Among some of the baubles from the singer's collection, remember that famous heart-shaped purse that she wore to the Brit Awards back in 07? She got a lot of attention for it for some reason. It went for roughly $206,000. That's 10 times the original estimate. Other items included her ballet flats. They were supposed to fetch around $600. Instead, they sold for $20,000. A Dolce & Gabbana floral dress went for around $150,000.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Well, in COVID news, a leading scientist says he knows the key to shutting down COVID. Oxford professor James Zawahi says booster doses and vaccinating young people will help the virus, quote, fade into the background. Experts say the gathering of data from around the world has given us a much clearer picture of what's working and what's not when it comes to the pandemic. And vaccines are the holy grail of ending this nightmare once and for all.
Yeah, and speaking of nightmares, the family from hell is at it again. Meghan Markle's half-brother has apologized to his embattled little sister. Thomas Markle Jr. penned an apology note to the Duchess during a taping of Australia's Big Brother VIP. So he's on that show, and Caitlyn Jenner is on that show or was on that show. It's a VIP Big Brother. The 55-year-old apologized. This is Thomas Markle Jr. He apologized to the royal rebels, saying that his previous verbal attacks and abuse, quote, came from a very dark part of his heart. He's referring to a 2018 open letter where he urged Prince Harry to call off the wedding to his half-sister and referred to Meghan as jaded, shallow, and conceited.
Former President Donald Trump's name is coming down, at least on that longtime West Side Highway sign. You know the one, the beautification sign right before the 79th Street Boat Basin area.
Yep.
It's going bye-bye thanks to a 2020 petition calling for its removal. The document was signed by 1,600 people and suggested it broke the city's DOT rules because highways aren't supposed to be adopted by political candidates or campaigns. The agency disagreed, but announced the contract with the Trump Organization expired Sunday anyway.
Well, isn't that convenient?
Coming up, Joe Nolan tells us what's happening on the roads, and Juliet has the weather forecast. But first,
it's the WABC Early News Entertainment.
Oh, he sounds so sinewy and creepy. Prince Harry is getting slammed by royalists, too. It's all stemming from the couple's $100+ million Netflix deal. The problem is that Netflix is home to The Crown, the TV show The Crown, and many royal files say the show has been less than complimentary to Harry's late mother, Princess Diana. Critics point to the recent departure of Diana's old friend, Jemima Khan, who was working as a consultant on the show. She quit just recently after reportedly finding the latest storyline lacking compassion for the late princess. And very quickly, an Astroworld update. Grammy winner Roddy Ricch is turning over his paycheck from this weekend's Deadly Festival to the families of the victims, which is wonderful. 8 people were killed and dozens more were seriously injured during that stampede to the stage. He is the first of 22 acts to perform at Friday's festival to make such an offer. Not to be outdone, R&B singer, what do you call her? SZA. She performed before Scott on Friday. She left the festival early saying she wasn't feeling well. She tweeted, said that she was speechless and in shock, and she asked people to pray for the victims, but of course she's not volunteering her paycheck.
It was a very cutting performance.
That's very true.
WABC.
Thanks, Joe. What a beautiful day it's going to be from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Lots of sun, a high of 68. Tomorrow, 64 with partly cloudy skies. On Thursday, we have a mix of clouds and sun in the morning. Then those clouds start rolling in by the afternoon. And by Friday, we should see some rain. Thunderstorms are possible, mainly in the afternoon with a high of 64. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 52 degrees, Frank.
It is 5:30. Why didn't they stop the show sooner? Anger is mounting over the Astroworld music tragedy. In business, I'll tell you what you can expect to pay in terms of a Thanksgiving meal this season. Mm. And we've got the world's best cruise lines. Juliet has the list. Right after these words.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Federico. The current time is 5:31 here in the WABC studios and outside of the studios as well on the East Coast, really. Coming up, a warning to parents about that Halloween candy. Still, these warnings coming out. If you haven't checked your kids' Halloween candy, please do. And also, be careful handling your next Amazon delivery. Mm. Wait till you hear this. It'll give you something to think about. Plus, we've got Joe Nolan in with traffic on the sevens. But first,
it's the top five at 5:30.
Welcome to America, everyone from outside of America. The U.S. on Monday opened its doors to international travel, finally. And vaccinated tourists from more than 30 countries are jumping at the chance to take advantage of the open door policy. In London, thousands of psyched up holidaymakers boarded the jets over at Heathrow and Gatwick. They were the first round of jets to come in since the Biden administration lifted the ban. It was wonderful scene. Passengers were welcomed by beaming airline employees. There were jugglers and singers and all sorts of people dressed in red, white, and blue and waving flags, even an Elvis impersonator. It's a happy day for these folks.
Just elated. You know, there's no words. I don't have any words.
That's the thing that I've missed the most is them not being able to be together, just because I know how much it means to me to be able to hold him, and having them not be able to do that, it's been really painful. So this, I'm so glad it happened. I'm so glad it's real. It's amazing.
We're learning more about the circumstances leading up to Friday's deadly stampede at the Astroworld Music Festival in Houston. 8 people were killed, hundreds more injured. Officials say crowds surged towards the stage. Rapper Drake made a surprise appearance during Travis Scott's set, and the two continued to perform despite emergency vehicles and personnel arriving on the scene. The Houston Chronicle reporting police and firefighters declared a mass casualty event around 9:38 p.m., yet the show went on until 10:15 p.m. By the time Live Nation shut things down, 23 people were hospitalized, 11 were in cardiac arrest, and more than 300 had to be treated at a spontaneous field hospital set up at the scene.
Yeah, investigators are also trying to figure out all the causes of the death and the injuries to these concert goers, including whether there was a batch of counterfeit pills that were possibly laced with fentanyl. And whether that played a role. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. Also, Texas officials reportedly had warned Travis Scott about the crowd size and the crowd's vibe before he ever went on. Houston Police Chief Tony Finner allegedly visited the star in the star's trailer before Friday's show and expressed concern about the energy of the crowd, you know, kind of the feeling of the crowd. Houston's fire chief, meantime, said Scott and the show's organizers should have stepped in and stopped the show much sooner.
A shocking report out of Queens. The DA's office will move to dismiss the cases of 60 people. The cases were connected to police officers who later pled guilty to perjury. One of those police officers was convicted in a Queens perjury case and pled guilty in a separate Manhattan case. Another cop pled guilty to perjury charges in Manhattan. Both have since been fired. Another six cases were tied to a third cop, and those are also in jeopardy. This police officer pled guilty to sex crimes against detainees.
We all love New York. Do you remember the campaign?
I love New York.
Yeah, so it's back. New York Governor Kathleen. What was that?
It was so exciting.
Oh, really? I don't remember that part. Well, hopefully we can hear it again. Kathy Hochul, the new governor, is bringing back the iconic campaign. It's part of an effort to invigorate the tourism industry, the third most lucrative in New York. Some New Yorkers will get over $2,700 in payments. These are people who work in the hospitality and tourism industry and who are still struggling. And this is under this new program that's meant to help the state's tourism industry recover after the financially painful pandemic. The announcement coming on the day the U.S. officially ended the ban on international travel.
I want to make New York fun again. I want people to feel that vitality, that energy that all of us knew before the pandemic, that we just embraced as part of our DNA. And we talk about tourism, and I love the slogan, bring back tourism, bring back jobs. Then we bring back jobs, we bring back the workers in those jobs.
And those are your top five at 5:30.
All right. A lot of other news that we're following at 5:36. We'll hear from Joan Nolan in just a minute. To Hillsborough County, Florida now, more than a week after Halloween, a trick-or-treater got a painful surprise when she bit into a piece of holiday candy. The 8-year-old's mother says she found an X-Acto knife blade hidden in the girl's $100,000 bar.
They should have kept it $100,000.
They should have. Officials reminding parents, they should make it a million with inflation.
Yeah, really.
Officials reminding parents across the country to check that candy. I must say, I am skeptical of this story. I'm waiting to see if there's more to it, because we do hear stories mm-hmm. like this from time to time and have since the 70s.
Yeah.
And in almost every case, it's not what it appears to be. I am going to be watching follow-ups and updates to this story very closely.
Well, you should just have said, I'm not going to read this story because it's fake news.
It's real news.
Stand by your...
For now. It's real news for now.
Well, that's true, because there was that Albany boy who got in trouble for saying that he found needles. Well, and he said, I learned it on TikTok and thought it would be fun.
You know, the SEPTA rape on the train, mm-hmm. the county prosecutor says what the police said about all these people sitting there and watching this rape take place on the train. The county attorney said it's completely not true. Now, it was true at the time that we read it. Then we learned more information,
yeah.
And they said, etc. The situation involving Nicholas Sandman, that young man in Washington,
yes.
We thought it was one thing. Learn more, it's another. The Chicago incident.
Okay. You made your point. Weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Beautiful day today. Lots of sun, 68 degrees. Tomorrow we cool off and the clouds start to roll in. We'll get to 64. Thursday, a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, followed by clouds in the afternoon. Friday, we should have some rain, maybe even thunderstorms. Currently, it's 52 degrees in the city of New York.
Biz Buzz.
Well, quite a bit happening in the world of business. The Biden administration is telling companies to push on with a COVID vaccine mandate, even though it's paused. An appeals court blocked the rules over the weekend after several states filed a lawsuit. But last night, the administration asked the court to lift the pause, given that the deadlines for vaccination and testing aren't until January 4th. The Labor and Justice Department claims that if that doesn't happen, hundreds of lives will be lost. And two of the biggest cryptocurrencies hit an all-time record high yesterday. Bitcoin surpassed the $67,000 mark for the first time yesterday evening, while Ethereum topped $4,800. The records come in spite of continued criticism from JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, who has called the online coins, quote, worthless. And if you're into driving high-powered muscle cars, then Dodge might have the perfect job for you. The automaker announced it's looking to fill a new position called Chief Donut Maker. It pays $150,000 per year and comes with a great perk, your own Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat that has up to 717 horsepower. Whoever gets the job will act as a brand ambassador and drive the Hellcat to races, car shows, and other events. A Chief Donut Maker business card will also be provided. More information about the job will be available in January. Juliet.
Thank you very much. Time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. I love my cruises. I love them. I'm partial these days to river cruises, but I do love the big ships too. And according to the Points Guy, one of my favorite sites, the site is really good for telling you how to maximize your credit card points. But they also give some good news too on travel. Royal Caribbean, according to TPG, the Points Guy, is the best of the big ship lines. I would say that's probably pretty accurate. I like Celebrity myself, but Royal Caribbean seems to appeal to a lot more people because it's a little bit more family friendly. Disney Cruise Line gets the nod for the best of the midship category. What was that?
That was the Mickey Mouse laugh.
Let me hear that again. It's very quick. And Viking Cruise Line. This is interesting. Viking Cruise Line gets top marks not only for best small ship line, but also for best river cruise line. You can read all about this. Just go over to my Twitter page a little bit later on at Jet Set Juliet, and I'll post the link. But Viking is really great because I think it also, the river cruise line, it appeals to a wide variety of people, adventurers, athletic people, people who like to, you know, drink a little bit more. I mean, some of the other cruise lines, river cruise lines,
it
are a bit more
fun.
Staid. Yes. So I've never been on Viking before, but I surely would love my invitation.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a great mm-hmm. opportunity. So we're still working on that listener trip for Frank and Julie.
Yes, we are. Actually.
Listeners, right?
We are.
All right. Well, if you are into the situation involving drugs, then stay tuned because we've got more coming your way. But there are more disturbing revelations emerging.
If you're into drugs, stay tuned.
We'll have some more information related to drugs coming your way. More disturbing. It's a tease. But more disturbing revelations emerging surrounding rapper Travis Scott and his dangerous crowd baiting on stage antics. He's been busted twice here in the United States for inciting crowds to get rowdy, creating challenging and potentially deadly situations while on stage performing. In the latest video from a show in Switzerland back in 2015, Scott is shown shouting at the crowd to attack a concert goer after the guy tried to steal his Yeezys, expensive sneakers from Kanye West's fashion line. Eight people died at his show at the Astroworld Music Festival in Houston last week. Hundreds more were injured.
An Australian man who spent more than a decade behind bars, this is really unnerving, by the way, for writing a how-to terrorism book, is about to be released again. Bilal Sadala Kazal wrapped up a 12-year stint in prison down under last year after he was convicted of penning this book on things like how to shoot down a plane and how to assassinate George W. Bush. But not long after he was released, the 51-year-old was busted again. He violated the terms of his release. He apparently is accused of, among other things, sending money to an ISIS supporter. That would be a violation, I would imagine, of those terms. Anyway, a judge on Monday set bail for this guy, meaning that he could be back out on the street soon. Australian prosecutors are appealing the decision.
Well, we are also keeping an eye on the South African Paralympian convicted of murdering his girlfriend. He could soon be out of prison soon. Officials in South Africa are considering whether to grant Oscar Pistorius parole after serving just half of a 12-year sentence for fatally shooting his girlfriend, model Reeva Steenkamp, back in 2013. Pistorius was the world's fastest when the world's first double amputee to compete in the Olympics back in 2012.
And in California, a public school teacher is in the hot seat after listing a right-bashing question on a class history test. Listen to this. This is the question. Name a group of idiots. The choices? The KKK, all of Florida, Fox News, Texans. So that didn't go over so well. A photo of the question was posted on social media. The principal of Whitney High School, which is just north of Sacramento, promising a full investigation.
Hmm. Doesn't seem fair to the Floridians.
No, or the Texans, really.
Well, speaking of Texas, a 30-year-old woman turned herself into police. Nora Lee Lopez was charged with first-degree murder after admitting she shot her 52-year-old Austin neighbor after he allegedly stole her inflatable bouncy house.
I just had to put that story. He stole a bouncy house and she decides to kill him.
Some people are very attached to their
bouncy
houses.
Those things must be very expensive. And really quickly, be careful when picking up your next Amazon delivery. This is a lovely story. A Florida Amazon driver is now an ex-Amazon driver after CCTV video caught him carousing with a lady friend while on the job. The video was posted to TikTok. It showed Taiwan George holding open the van's back for the woman who skulks out of the back of the van wearing a skimpy black dress. George says that he did what any man would do, any American man would do. He basically admitted that he was having sexual games back there. Amazon, for its part, says he is no longer with the company and that they don't allow unauthorized people to hang out in delivery vehicles nor to have sexual relations.
Victim of circumstance. Mm-hmm. 5:45, let's check in with sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank. Good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Julius Randle scored 31 points, including 8 straight during a key fourth quarter stretch, leading the Knicks to a 103-96 victory over the shorthanded Philadelphia 76ers last night. Back to the court once more. DeMar DeRozan scored 28 points. Zach LaVine added 24. And the Bulls used a 42-point fourth quarter to pull away for a 118-95 victory over the Brooklyn Nets last night. On the ice, the Rangers held off the Panthers 4-3. Finally, some sad news. Former Yankees and Mets reliever Pedro Feliciano died overnight in his sleep. Feliciano was 45. He was named the Perpetual Pedro due to his heavy usage, technically played for 4 organizations, but only ever appeared in the MLB in a game as a Met. Originally a 31st round pick for the Dodgers in 1995, he spent 7 seasons in the Dodgers organization before signing with the Reds, who traded him to the Mets in August 2002 as part of a 4-player package for Sean Estes. He died once again at age 45. And that is your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that is WABC Sport.
Thank you very much. Yep. We've got more news, plus we have weather coming up. But before we get to that, I have to say, Frank, I heard you on the other side of midnight talking about how you want to lose weight and how you feel like you've never looked worse. Well, I disagree with that. I think you're a lovely man. But I do understand, you know, wanting to make yourself look better, not you specifically, but just in general. As you get older, sometimes you do gain weight. Sometimes your skin tends to get, you know, it tends to droop a little bit. There are things that we can do. You can lose weight. You can go exercise. You can, you know, do some things like, I don't know, get a little zhuzh in your face or your bum. Here's how you can do it. Go to Dolce Aesthetics. They have a whole cornucopia of options from Botox to fillers, cellulite reduction, laser hair removal. They do facials. They do body sculpting and molding, pretty much everything that you need. I mean, they've got these contouring and butt lift treatments, I'm told. I have to say, Jen, who is my queen bee, my contact over there, she has quite the bum, I must say. And I've told her this. I said, Jen, I want a bum like yours because I have none. I would like half of hers. I would like a quarter of hers. Mm. But she can't give it to me. It's impossible. But Dolce Aesthetics has locations in Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, Oceanside. So they're convenient. They're accessible. And if you're ready to go, if you want to do just a simple facial or you want to perk up your skin, you want to enliven your skin, here's what you do. Text the word Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, to 95000, 95,000, for 10% off of your next treatment. Or you can visit them at DolceAestheticsNY.com. That's D-O-L-C-E, AestheticsNY.com.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. And I am Juliet Huddy. Frank Morano joining me in just a few seconds. But we have some more headlines. After 20 long, painful months, the U.S. has once again opened its doors to vaccinated international travelers. Delta Airlines says most of its international flights on Monday were booked solid. I can understand that. The carrier's first flight under the lessened restrictions arrived from Brazil, Sao Paulo, to be exact, to Atlanta's Hartsfield Airport just before 10 a.m. yesterday. And lots of people just so happy. I was watching some of the videos. I started crying. It was just, it's so heartwarming to see. Oh, finally, things are starting to get back to normal. Meantime, folks here have been planning for the big day for months now. Famed chef Daniel Boulud, he's got lots of places here in New York. He says he's been taking reservations from folks overseas recently, lots of them very recently when they started realizing that they could actually travel here again. And the Democratic-led House panel looking into the January 6th Capitol attack, issuing another round of subpoenas, including to several ex-Trump officials. The list, including National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, attorney John Eastman, he's the guy who wrote that memo outlining ways Pence could reject Biden's electoral count victory. Jason Miller, his ex-campaign manager Bill Stepien, also one of our frequent guests here, New York Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick, and also former Trump campaign aide Angela McCallum. They were also on the list. Back here at home, Governor Kathy Hochul on Monday signed a package of legislation into law to block robocalls, finally, from certain numbers to your phone. This is new legislation that would basically make the telecommunication companies have to block these robocalls from certain numbers to prevent them from coming across in different providers. So, yay. Happy about that. The bromance between former President Donald Trump and Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell is officially over. In the latest salvo, it's kind of been going back and forth between the two, mainly from Trump to McConnell. They also obviously were allies, but no longer frenemies, I guess you could say, or actually enemies at this point. Trump claims that a glowing foreword in McConnell's 2016 book, reportedly written by him, was actually written by McConnell himself. Trump says, referring to Mitch as an ace in the hole and referring to him in this glowing foreword as in other fawning ways, he says those were all McConnell's words and he just signed his name to it. So he's taking those words back. And a new book suggests the former president was ready to leave the GOP. In Betrayal, the final act of the Trump show, Jonathan Carl of ABC News claims on the last day of Trump's presidency, he told RNC chair Ron McDaniel on Air Force One that he was going to create his own party and he didn't care if he destroyed the GOP. The move was apparently sort of pushed by the fact that he felt that the party wasn't backing him. According to Jonathan Carl, the RNC fought back, threatening to withhold its legal defense funds and valuable donor list. Trump says the conversation never happened, though, and he calls Carl a third-rate reporter from ABC non-news. And again, as Frank likes to say, ABC is not affiliated with us.
Well, it's not that I like to say it. I think, it bears...
Well, you say. It's your want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you frequently say.
Same thing when we cite a story from WABC-TV.
Also. Right, exactly. No. And also, in a move some might call slightly provocative, China's military is reportedly using mock-ups of a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier and other American warships for target practice. Satellite images show the carrier and at least two destroyers at what appears to be a new practice range in the Taklamakan Desert. That's in northwest China. The images come amid increasing tensions between our country and China, especially over the situation with Taiwan. And new data shows cutting out red meat and cooking with vegetable oil is the recipe for good health. Researchers looked at 100,000 people. They found those who regularly cooked with olive oil and avoided red meat were 12% less likely to have a stroke. Speaking of strokes, I've got one more story for you. This is a warning to smokers of all kinds. Researchers followed 80,000 people over the last, well, basically over the course of 4 years. And they found that smokers, the traditional smokers, were more likely to have a stroke than people who vaped. But e-cigarette users were 15% more likely to have a stroke at a young age, which is a little disturbing.
Ooh, that is disturbing. Speaking of disturbing.
Spectacular. 77 WABC Early News presents It's Sid.
It is Sid,
Hi, Sid.
Indeed.
Good morning, guys. I just got a picture from Gary Barone. He's in the gym. He just sent it literally two seconds
ago.
Hope
he's listening.
Have to get in Sid's shape. I have a winner to build. Let's go.
You know, Gary told me over the weekend there's some big news coming out this week regarding the baseball
team. Yes, Staten Island and all that good stuff.
Gary,
and,
if people don't know, is the recently named general manager of the new Atlantic League baseball team in Staten Island. He's a close friend of both of ours, of me for over 20 years. I used to work for him at the Brooklyn Cyclones.
And yeah, I got a great job, guy. Though.
Yeah, well, see,
basically, he was stuck with Steve Cohen in Brooklyn for 100 years and wanted to kill himself this August and said, please, please get me out of here. And now, as you mentioned, he's a man in Staten Island, so it's time to take over New York sports. I am pumped. Thank you for your support. Let's effing kill it. Gary Perrone.
Very nice.
He's all pumped up.
How are you going to kill it today on the show?
Well, we have three guests today. It's Tuesday. That means Bo Dietl's going to stop by. I've got great pictures that Gabby's going to put up on WABCRadio.tv for the bar mitzvah on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Bo Dietl spends a lot of time with my mom, believe it or not. So we got great pictures of Naomi and Bo Dietl. He's always great on a Tuesday. This is our young lady, Frank. I think you know who she is. Ina Varnikoff.
Oh, she's the new council member elect from the 48th district.
Exactly.
Lord.
There you go. Bang.
He's like a...
He's
Rain
money.
Man over there.
Well, and let me tell you, over
by the way,
next,
she said Bay, Gravesend, Coney Island, neighborhood.
Over the next 2 years, the whole city is going to know this woman's name.
Oh, she's
a rising star in Republican politics, maybe even around the whole country.
I think you're right. She's very pretty, very smart.
What is her name again?
Ina Varnikoff. There you go. She'll be on at 8:40. And then 9:25, we'll talk to my friend Jennifer Aiden, one of the stars of the Real Housewives of New Jersey. She'll be in studio, actually. She's got a big masquerade party next week in Totowa, New Jersey, to help raise money for her brother's nonprofit music organization. Now, something right up your alley, Juliet.
Yes, definitely. Now, you're friends with her?
Yeah, I'm friends with every housewife.
I'm not a fan of hers at all.
Oh, good. Well, stay and tell her that.
I'd like to get into it with her.
Really?
Yeah, I love
what
don't
you like about her?
I think she is very mean.
She
and
is
petulant.
Mean. Yeah,
yes.
She could be. Yes.
If I was on that show, we would have thrown down.
You got a fight by now?
No, I've never gotten in a fight in my life, and I don't plan on it.
And in 5:50.
You know what's funny? I actually met her 2 years ago this week. I took her and Dolores to the Veterans Day Parade in 2019. That's the first time I met her. I think I've seen her once since.
Wow, okay.
So you're not really.
At the softball game this summer. Oh, I mean, we've talked, but we're not friends by any stretch.
Stay tuned to the Bernie and Sid show coming up at 6.
All right. Well, we're missing something from our rundown. I don't know what happened to it, but just do a really quick weather forecast for you from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. 68 degrees today. It's going to be beautiful, Sid. You could get out there. You don't have to go to the gym. Just go out and you lift some human beings up outside in Central Park. Lots of sun. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly cloudy skies and 64 degrees for a high. Then we get into a mix of clouds and sun on Thursday in the morning. Gets really cloudy in the afternoon. And then by Friday, we are probably going to have some sort of rain situation, maybe even thunderstorms, unfortunately. So just keep an eye out for that.
And one more thing, Julia. Two runners are being credited for helping another finish the New York City Marathon on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
39-year-old Queens native Jamel Melville hit the wall and collapsed just feet from the finish line. Melville says he's looking forward to speaking to the runners who helped him and basically carried him across the finish line. A Yale University psychology grad, Melville says, we haven't seen the last of him, and he's looking forward to running next year's marathon.
And by the way, wine and beer apparently good for you again, according to a new study out of Melbourne, Australia. So just be happy about that. Have a good day.